The daf for today is daf Yudam and Aleph. And we'll begin in Mirtz Hashem on daf Tesamid Beis, Velema Lovut. So if you're on daf Tesamid Beis, you're counting up from the bottom of the Amud, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up from the bottom. Now, we had a statement of Rabbah, and Rabbah said that if you have a lechi that can only be seen from the outside, but not from the inside of the mavui, nevertheless, the lechi is still valid. And Rabbah asks a question on himself from a Mishnah later on, and the Mishnah speaks about a chatzar ketana, shenifritza lechatzar gedola. So you have a smaller courtyard that had a wall that separated from a larger courtyard on the other side, but then that wall was breached. And the Mishnah paskins that gedola muteres uktana sura. You're not allowed to carry in the smaller chatzar, mipneshi kepischa shel gedola, and you're allowed to carry in the larger chatzar. And Rabbah was amazed about this. Why should there be a prohibition about carrying in the smaller chatzar? After all, the mechitzos on the two sides are still left. It's not completely parched, because if you would stand on the side of the larger chatzar, then you would actually see the two vestiges of the mechitzas on both sides. And according to the sheet of Rabbah himself, it's sufficient that you can see these mechitzos from the other side, and those mechitzos could serve as a lechi, and therefore it should be mutter to carry in the small chatzar. So Rabbi Zera said that in this case we don't apply the principle of nireh mibachutz, the fact that it can be seen from the outside, meaning in this case the larger chatzar, and the reason why we don't apply that in this case is because the walls on the right and the left, the two lengthy walls of the chatzar ketan, of the smaller chatzar, continue on in towards the outer chatzar, the larger chatzar, such that they block any sort of possibility of connecting with the two flank mechitzos that are left from the original kosel that broke on the right side and the left side of the chatzar gedola. So the Gemara asks, and this is where we're going to start for today, v'lema lavud. Why don't we apply the principle of lavud, which means assuming that the distance between the walls of the smaller chatzar and those of the larger chatzar are less than 3 tefachim, then we apply the principle of lavud, which tells us that two things that are situated within 3 tefachim, one or the other, are considered connected to each other. So to speak, we fill in the missing blanks. That's called sosem. And here, if we fill in the missing blanks, then we could view the ksalim, the walls of the smaller chatzars, if they continue and extend connecting with the walls of the larger chatzar and the tishrei, and then we should be allowed to carry in the smaller chatzar as well as the larger chatzar, because we fill in the gap, as we said before, such that now the walls, the vestiges on both sides of the walls of the chatzar hagedola can now be seen as the extension of the chatzar ketana, the walls of the chatzar ketana. And if that be the case, then the chatzar ketana now has a lechi, in fact, a lechi on each side, which should be matir tiltul in the chatzar ketana. And even though standing in the chatzar ketana you would not perceive those lechis, but nevertheless, Rabbah is of the opinion that as long as it's nira mibachutz and it can be seen from outside, that's sufficient. And we're going to say that basically, just like these mechitzos serve the chatzar hagadol on the outside, they should serve and be valid for the chatzar ketana on the inside. V'chitema demiflegei tuva, and if you'll say, which is an untenable position, that the distance between the walls of the smaller chatzar and the walls of the outer chatzar is more than three tfachim, which blocks the ability to apply the principle of lavud, the Gemara says that can't be, because hatani Rav Ada bar Avimi kami de Rav Chanina. So we have a statement of Rav Ada, ktana bi eser gedola b'chasesre, that the width of the smaller chatzar is 10 amos, whereas the width of the larger chatzar is 11 amos. The distance between the two would be three tefachim on each side. Keep in mind that one amma is equal to three tefachim, to six tefachim. And if the length of the larger chatzer, meaning the walls on both sides of the larger chatzer are larger and wider than those of the smaller chatzer by one amma, then you divide that one amma into two, there are three tefachim on each side. And if that be the case, there's also the thickness of the wall itself, the walls of the chatzar ketana, the smaller chatzar, and that diminishes the three tefachim. You're left with less than three tefachim of distance on each side. And therefore, we should again go back to our original question and apply the principle of lavud. Amar Avina, b'muflagim mikosel zeshnayim mikosel zearba. You are assuming that the chatzar ketana goes right down, the walls of the chatzar ketana on the right and the left enter directly midway into the middle of the chatzar gedola. No, it's on an angle, so to speak. And the distance between the wall of the chatzar ketana on the right side and its corresponding wall in the larger chatzar on that side is two tvachim, but on the left side, there's a wider distance of four tvachim. Four plus two is the six tvachim they make of an amma. So don't assume, says Ravina, that the distance is split into two equal parts, three tvachim on one side, three tvachim on the other. No, it's four tvachim on one side and two tvachim on the other side. So on that side where the distance is four tefachim, it's more than the shear of lavud. So the Gemara asks, "V'lema lavud mi ruach achas v'tishteri?" Why do I have to apply the principle of lavud on both sides of the chatzar ketana? Wouldn't it be sufficient to say that on one side there is less than three tefachim of a distance between the kosle ha-ketana and the kosle ha-gedola, which gives me lavud, and that lavud would allow me to set up that opening, that breach, as a Pesach into the Chatzer. And if there's no Pirtza of more than 10 Amos, then what we have is a Pesach. So now the Chatzer Ketana has a Pesach into the Chatzer Gedola. And the Gemara answers, and here we start, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, Rebbe Hi. This Braisa reflects the Sheet of Rebbe, Di Omar Be'inon Shnei Pasim, which means that although a Mavui, to be Misakin a Mavui, all you need is one Lechi on one side, in the case of a Chatzer, which is a more strict and severe requirement than Halacha to be Mati, the Chatzer, you need not just one Lechi, but you need a Lechi on both sides. Again, there's a synonym for a Lechi, which is called a Pas. And the reason why sometimes we call it a pas and sometimes we call it a lechi is because sometimes a pas has a minimum size in thickness, whereas a lechi does not. This Sanya, we have a braisa, chotzer niteres bepas echad. According to the Tanakhama of this braisa, just as in the case of a mavui, all you need is one lechi, so too, in the case of a chatzah, let's say you have a chatzah that is surrounded by mechitzas on three sides. On the fourth side, it opens up into a reshus harabim. and that opening into Rosh Hashanah is less than 10 amos. In that case, according to Tanakama, all you need is one pas. And we'll see that the minimum size of a pas has got to be 3 tefachim. Rebbe Omer Shnei Pas. And Rebbe says, no. If the chatzer opens up into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, unlike the Mavui, which lends itself to a heter of one lechi, the chatzer requires a lechi or a pas on both sides. So therefore, getting back to our case, if our brisa is attributed to Rebbe, it's not enough to say lovud on one side between the lengthy mechitza of the chatzah ketana and the mechitza of the chatzah gedola, and say that, well, it's as if that pas, that extra vestige that comes out, that was left from the breach wall, on that side is a lechi. That's not good enough according to Rebbe, because you need a lechi on the other side as well, shnei pasim. And on the other side, we said there was a distance of 4 tefachim, which is more than lavud. Now the Gemara is going to reject this answer and is going to claim that even if you assume that this price is attributed to Rebbe, we still don't understand why do you have to say that the Chatzah Gedola is wider than the Chatzah Ketana by one Amma, and you're going to prove that that shear of one Amma has a width of the Chatzah Gedola, and that only applies if you hold that a lechi that's visible from the outside is a valid lechi. Hai mai. The Gemara says the following. Let's analyze this. Bishlema, if I were to be of the opinion that nira mibachutz v'shav mifnim eino nidon mishum lechi, if the lechi is only visible from outside the mavui, then it's not a valid lechi. And the Gemara is now going to try to prove that it makes a lot more sense, and we could really protect the integrity of this brisa if we assume that a lechi that is nira only mibachutz is not a valid lechi. And the Gemara says the following. We're going to assume that this brisa reflects the shita of Rebbe, as we said earlier. And in order to be matir chotzer, you need shnei pasim. And Rebbe savala ki Rabbi Yossi. Now Rabbi Yossi holds later on that to be matir mavui with one lechi, the lechi has to be a minimum of 3 tefachim in width. That's not the accepted view of the Chachamim, but that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. And Rebbe accepts Rabbi Yossi. Now, if Rebbe accepts Rabbi Yossi, then in the case of Chatzer, where Rebbe holds you need not one pas, but you need 2 pasim, assuming he agrees with Rabbi Yossi that a pas, or a lechi, requires a minimum of a width of 3 tefachim, then how much more so in the case of a Chatzer, we're going to certainly need a width of 3 tefachim on each one of the sides, each one of the pasim. And therefore, it makes sense that the chatzah gedola is wider than the chatzah ketana by an amma, which is the equivalent of 6 tefachim. And therefore, on each side, the extended koslim, on each side, the kosel of the chatzah gedola is extended by 3 tefachim, and that would be shnei pasim, right? Because each pas we said is shlosha tefachim. So now we have a pas on the right side, and the pas on the left side. Now, if that be the case, everything works out quite smoothly, because we're going to be able to be mati the chotzer agadola with two pasim, and each pas has three tfachim. And therefore, udarabi zera, udaravino lesa. Let's drop the interpretation of the braisa of both Rabbi Zera and Ravina. If you remember, Rabbi Zera insisted that the walls of the Chotzer Ketana penetrate, they extend into the Chotzer HaGedola, even beyond the point where the wall was breached. And Ravina said that the Chotzer Ketana is angled in such a way that there's a wider distance between its walls and the walls of the Chotzer HaGedola that shift from one side to the other. It's only two tefachim on one side and four tefachim on the other side. And let's just leave that out. Umishum hachi. I can explain very smoothly, without the ukimtas of Rabbi Zera and Ravina, that ketana bi eser ugdola bi achatisre, that the statement that we had of the braisa of Rabbi that was brought by Rav Ada, namely that the discrepancy, the extension of the chotzer hagdola over the chotzer ketana, is a width of one extra amma, 11 for the chotzer hagdola and 10 for the chotzer ketana, with a discrepancy in which the chotzer hagdola exceeds by one amma. And Mishum de Rebbe Savrala Kareb Yossi. And the reason why that discrepancy has to be exactly one amma is so that we divide on both sides the extra amma into two equal parts, because again, we're not accepting the Ukimta Ravina before. And if you split the extra amma into two parts, you get three tfachim on each side, on each side. Once you get the three tfachim on each side, you now have a pas, you now have the size of a lechi, given that Rebbe accepts Rabbi Yossi, that a lechi has to be a minimum of three tfachim in width. And now, everything fits into place. We have this discrepancy of one amma in terms of the width of the ksalim. The width of the ksalim of the gedola exceed by one amma beyond the width of the ketana. And we're going to split that width into two halves. The amma now gets three tefachim on each side, which gives you a pas on each side. And therefore, the chotzer gedola is mutter betiltel, because it has the two pasim that you need to be mater a chotzer. As far as the chotzer ketan is concerned, we're holding now that nira mibachutz v'shom mibifnim eino nido mishum lechi. And therefore, the chotzer ketana doesn't have a lechi, even if it has lovin on both sides. That's not going to help you, because it's still not nira mibifnim. Ela I amr. But if you go back to your original understanding, that this braisa maintains that nira mibachutz v'shom mibifnim nido mishum lechi, that a lechi is valid even though it's only apparent to the eye, outside of the mavui, or in this case, outside of the chotzer, and then you're going to be forced to introduce Derabi Zera Udravino Isa. That we're talking about a case where the reason why we don't apply Nira Mibachutz to validate the two lechis and be mati the chotzer ketana is, as Rabbi Zera says, because the walls of the ketana extend into the gdola, and add Ravina, who says that the reason why you don't say lovewood in this case is because you have a lopsided calculation in which you have two tefachim in a distance between the ksale hagdol and ksale ketana on one side, and four tefachim in that distance on the other side. But then, Rebbe lo sover lo ki Reb Yossi. You're going to have to assume now that Rebbe rejects Rabbi Yossi. Right? Why? Because according to Rabbi Yossi, you need to be matir a chotzer, you need a pas that's a minimum of the size of three tefachim. If Rebbe accepts that, then since we've set it up in a lopsided way so that you only have two tefachim on one side of the chotzer, of the chotzer gdola in this case, then there's no way you can be matir the chotzer gdola You don't have here two pasim, each of which has three tefachim, because we said it's four tefachim on one side, but only two tefachim on the other side. Okay, that I can grant you. So Rebbe doesn't accept the shita of Rabbi Yossi. But here I have the following two questions. Kedola b'chasasrei lomali. Why do you insist, that was the b'raisa of Rabbi Ada, that we're talking about a case where the width between the two walls of the Chatz HaGedola is 11 amos, mimanafshach. No matter how you want to interpret that stipulation, that restriction, or that ukimta, as we say, it's not going to make any sense. Elam Meshri L'Gedola Kasi, if you're telling me that the reason why we set up the shear of 11 amos is in order to make sure that we have a pas on each side. Yeah, but why do you need a pas on each side of three tefachim? Is be eser ushnei tefachim sagya? Why not just get one tefach on each side? And the Mepharshim say you don't even need one tefach. The Gemara is just using that term, a tefach, but it really means a mashu. All you need is a little bit more than 10 amos, and you have yourself a pas on each one of the two sides, and that would be enough to be matir the gedola. I don't need an extra, the odef, it exceeds by one full amah to split it up into three tefachim on both sides if we're not holding like Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi doesn't accept the requirement of three tefachim for a pas. And we were forced into that position to say that Rebbe never accepted Rabbi Yossi, because had he accepted Rabbi Yossi, he would not have two pasim to be mat to the gedola, because on one side you only have a pas of two tefachim. So if that be the case, why not just set up this brisa as talking about a case of 10 amos plus two tefachim, meaning one tefach on each side, because you rejected Rabbi Yossi at this point. So why does the Braisa of Ada insist that we're talking about 11 amos of width? The Ila Mesrek L'Ketana Kasi, and if you'll tell me that the reason why that the Braisa insists on a shear of 11 amos in width for the Chatz HaGdola is in order to explain why the Chatz HaKetana is Asura, meaning that you want to knock off Lovewood on both sides, or shall we say, we don't have Lovewood on both sides, we're going to knock off Lovewood on one side because we have a discrepancy, a merchak between the two mechitzos, meaning of the Gdola and the Ketana, of four tefachim on one side, which is more than the shear of Lovewood, is then Lashmi'inon, the Miflige Tuva. Why not set up the Braisa in a situation which would avoid any confusion on our part, and the distance between the Chatz HaKetana and the Chatz HaGdola would be tuva, would be a large amount. And then there would be no room to think, well, we should have lovewood because we had one arm of a discrepancy, we split it into two sides, and we have three tefachim on each side, and therefore we should apply lovewood. Cut that all out. The Bryce is being deliberately ambiguous. Why not just explain that the Chatz HaGdola is much, much wider than the Ketana, and therefore there's no possibility of saying Lovud. Elalav Shmamino, therefore, based on this analysis, we should come to the conclusion that this Braisa reflects the opinion that Nira Mibachut Shav Mifnim Eino Nido Mishum Lechi, that you cannot consider a Lechi as valid if it's only visible and apparent from the outside of the Mavui, or in this case, the outside of the Chatzer, Shmaminon, that's what we're going to accept. So let's just go over this one more time. If I hold that a lechi is not valid if it's only visible on the outside, then everything fits into beautiful place. We now understand why the discrepancy between the outer chatzer, meaning the gdola, and the inner chatzer, the ketana, has to be one amo. We're going to split it into two equal parts. We're going to avoid all the ukimtas of Rabbi Zeira and Ravina, and simply understand that the Chatz HaGdola is muteres because you have three tefachim on each side. We're holding now Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi holds like Rabbi Yossi, you need a minimum of a three tefachim wide lechi in order for the lechi to be valid. And the Chatz HaKetana is asura because you cannot see those two mini machitzos of three tefachim on each side. They're not apparent to the eye from inside the Chatz HaKetana. So at this point, we want to know why in Rabbi Bar Avuhna, who said that a lechi that's near v'chutz and shom v'ifnim is nidal mishum lechi, right? Rav Huna was the one who validated this. Why wasn't he aware of our analysis of this brisa, in which we came to the conclusion that either Rav, on the contrary, ain't no nidal mishum lechi. On Rav Yosef lo shmi li hashmaitita. I never heard this entire presentation of Rav Huna about lechi anirim v'chutz v'sham v'ifnim, that it's considered a valid lechi. And it was Rabba, who's the son of Rav Huna, he said it midas atzma. Amalei Abai, Abai turns to Rav Yosef, he says, at amrit ni'alon. How can you tell us you didn't hear about this brisa? You were the one who taught it to us. Now, keep in mind that Rav Yosef had amnesia, so Abai very often had to remind Rav Yosef of what he had taught them earlier in his life. V'yaho amrit ni'alon. And your statement that nirav v'chutz v'shavim v'fnim is nidal mishum lechi, you yourself made that statement. And in what context did you make that statement? Aha. Amrit Nielon. In this context, you said it. The Omar Rami Bar Abba Omar Avhuna Lechi Amoshech Imdofno Shel Mavui. If you have a lechi that is a continuation of the wall of the Mavui, in a way that from the inside of the Mavui, the lechi is not at all apparent, it just looks like an extension. You know, if you were standing inside the Mavui and you put your hands on the Kosel, it would take you straight across, you know, close your eyes and feel your way straight across to this lechi. You will not know it's a lechi. It's absolutely flush up and equal to the side of the Kosel. It's indented, meaning it's this lechi is thinner than the thickness of the wall, but that's not something you can see from inside the Mavui. You can only see it from outside the Mavui. Says Rav Huna, pochos mi arba amos nido mishum lechi. If the length of this lechi is less than 4 amos, then it's a valid lechi. Umishtamesh imchudo hapnimi. And you can carry inside the mavui from the inner chud of the lechi. In other words, from the beginning of the kos of the mavui, where you have a lechi on the side. However, if the length of the lechi is 4 amos, nidal mishum mavui, this was a sugi that we discussed earlier, that a lechi could not have the length of 4 amos, which is the length of a mavui itself, the osu l'shtamish bekulo, and then you don't have a lechi at all, and the whole mavui is osu. The at, and you, Rav Yosef, amrit lan alo, you added the following comment on this statement of Rami Bar Abba, shma min yotlas. We're going to derive 3 different halachic conclusions from the statement of Rabbi of Rami. Number 1, shma mina bein halachayim asur, right? Because you allowed us only to be mishtamesh from chudu apnimi shel alechi and inside, and not from the beginning of the lechi, which could be 3.9 amos, which is called bein alechayim. It has a lechi on one side, a lechi on the other side. Well, you don't even need the lechi on the other side. But anyway, also, shma mina number 2, meshech mavui bi 4 amos. That the reason why the lechi cannot be 4 amos long is because that's the equivalent of a mavui unto itself. That's why it's not called a lechi, it's called a mavui. And the length of a mavui, minimum length, has to be 4 amos. Ushma mina. And the third conclusion that we come to from this Rami is hanirami bachutz v'sham ifnim nido mishum lechi. Again, as we said before, this lechi is not visible from the inside of the mavui, and yet it's valid. So this is what Abaye reminded Rav Yosef, that he himself had taught them that a lechi hanirami bachutz v'sham ifnim is a valid lechi, even though it can only be seen on the outside. And the Braisa we interpreted as coming to the, our conclusion was the exact opposite, that Eino Nidon Mishum Lech. And finally, the Gemara concludes, Hilchasa Nira Mibachut Shavithnim Nidon Mishum Lechi. And this is very strange. The Gemara is validating this Lechi that's only visible, apparent to the eye, outside the Mavui, and yet we just proved from the Braisa that the Braisa maintains that Eino Nidon Mishum Lechi, it's an invalid Lechi. Tiuvtave Hilchasa. In the same breath, you have a question, and then you paskin like that question. In Mishum Detani Rabbi Chiya Kavasei, because we had a brisa of Rabbi Chiya, that if you have a kosel, and one side of the kosel is kanus michavero, meaning it's less of a rochav than the other kosel, then it's nidon mishum lechi. So you see that we do have a brisa that maintains that even though it's only nira mibachutz, it's a valid lechi, and therefore we don't have to be so impressed by that brisa that maintains that eino nidon mishum lechi. Okay, now we get back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, harachov me eser yemayit, if the opening of the entranceway into the mavui is wider than 10 amos, then it's not a mavui, and we have to diminish that opening. And we're going to have a whole sugya now about how exactly you diminish the opening. However, the Gemara first quotes a braisa to say that not everyone agrees with that Mishnah. Om Rabbi Tana, we have a braisa that says, Arachav Mieser Amos Yemayit, Rabbi Yudomer Eino Tzorach Lemayit. Rabbi Yehuda says that even if the width in the entrance to the Mavui is more than Eser Amos, I disagree with the Chachamim, it's still of Mavui, and we can still validate this mavui with a lechi or a kora and be matu betiltul, and we don't need to be mamayit. Viad kama. How wide does Rabbi Yehuda allow? What's the maximum? I mean, there's got to be some cap on of the width. Savar av acha kameid Rav Yosef lemeimar. Rav Acha thought to say ad shlosh say amo shlish, up to but not beyond 13 amos plus a third of an amo. So the question is, how does he come up with that calculation? Where did that number fall from the heavens? The Kalvachomer mipasei biros. And this is going to be derived in a Kalvachomer from the case of pasei biros, where the Chachomim allowed you, for the sake of the Ole Regel, who needed to have access to water, to drink and to feed their animals. And the water was inside a cistern, a bar, and that bar had the depth of 10 tfachim, it had the width of 4 tfachim. Therefore, the bar itself is a reshus hayachid. Outside the bar is a reshus harabim. How could they draw water from the bar? And they would be carrying it from reshus hayachid out into a reshus harabim. So the Rabbanan allowed something called pasei biros. And they allowed you to put different pasim that stood on four sides of around this biro, around this mayim, this bar, and basically between each one of these pasim, again, there's a whole parak in Masech Ervin dedicated to pasim biros and all its details, and that I believe is the second parak, if I remember correctly. In any event, this Pasi Biros has open airspace between each one of the four pasim. And Ma Pasi Biros Itartu Ben Poritz Meruba Al HaOmed. There's a big cooler here that the Rabbanan allowed you to consider these machitzos as reliable machitzos. When this airspace that exceeds beyond the Omed, beyond the actual pasim that are standing there. But lo itarta bahem yosef mishlosh esrei amo ushlish. Nevertheless, we were very strict, and we would not allow for a distance between one pas and the other of more than 13 and a third amo, which we'll explain in a minute. Is mavui shelo itarta bo poritz merubala omed. In the case of mavui, the din is more chomer than pasi biros. We're not going to allow you in a case where there's more airspace than there is Omeid, meaning then the mechitzos that are standing, is eno din shelo tate bo yosef mishlosh esrei amo v'shlish. We certainly have to accept this chumrah that the maximum open air distance would have to be no more than 13 and a third amo. So the Gemara rejects this logic of Abaye and says the following. I'm sorry, this is the logic of Rav Acha, sorry. Let's come to the opposite conclusion. You had such a great leniency in the case of Pasei Biros that you allowed, even though it's Parutz. Nevertheless, you had to be machmir a little bit and say, well, let's not exaggerate here and set up an open air space that's more than 13 1/3. But Mavui Shloi Tartavo Parutz Murubala Omid. In the case of Mavui, most of the Mavui is completely enclosed. And therefore, you can allow yourself a lot more of a distance. Tatirbo, Yosef, Mishlosh Seyamas Ushlish. Inami Lidach Gisa. Or I can reject your analogy and your Kalvachomer Rav Acha from the opposite perspective. And say the following. Pasi Biros de Akilu Lahu Behu Chad Kula. In the case of Pasi Biros, the Chachom had a vested agenda to be Matir. They allowed Porutz Merubala Omed is Ekel Bo Kula Achrina. They added another Kula, again, only to make it possible for the Oli Regal to drink the water from these boros. And therefore they allowed a distance that's up to 13 and a third Amma. But maybe in the case of a Mavui, where we don't have this Kula of Porutz Merubala Oma, is Mavui Klalu Klalo? Maybe we should stick to the original distance, the pirtz of 10 amos, and not go beyond 10 amos. So at the end of the day, the Gemara leaves this question as an unanswered question. We really don't know, according to Rabbi Yehuda, how much of a leniency he would allow in the rochav of the Knisa Lemavui. We know that it's impossible to derive it from Pasei Biros. Tani Levi, Mavui Shu Rochav Esrim Amo. If you have a Mavui that has a width of 20 Amma, and the maximum width we allow is 10 Amma, how can we fix up this Mavui so that we can be Matake in a Lechi or a Korebi Matu Tiltul the Mavui? Levi suggested, Noetz Konabem Tzi Isovidayo. All you have to do is set up a pole that goes vertically in the middle and is located in the middle of this Pesach, and that's going to split the Mavui into two parts. You'll have 10 amos on one part of the on one side of the pole, and 10 amos on the other side of the pole. Hutani Levi hu Amar Le. Even though Levi had such a brisa, nevertheless he himself said, "Dein alocha keosa mishnu." That brisa is not acceptable, and we're not going to rely on a kana, on one simple vertical skinny pole, and split the Mavui into two parts. And the reason for that is because we have all this airspace to the right and to the left of this kana, and that's going to be mevatel the kana. The kana is not considered a valid separation to split the mavi into half. Ika diamri, others say it wasn't that we heard this from Levi, but Ara Shmuel mishmei the Levi ein halacha kosa mishnah, that it was Shmuel who was quoting Levi as saying that we don't paskin like this brisa, that you can be noetz kana b'mtzius of a dayo. So Elahechi Ovid, so give me another recommendation. How can I fix up a Mavui that has an opening that is 20 Am? Amar Shmuel Mishmei the Levi. And here we turn to Daf Yudam and Beis. Osa Paska Voa Asora B'meshach Arba Amos Mamido Li Arko Shel Mavui. Now, let's just for a moment just clarify Arko Shel Mavui, and then we'll come back to Meshech Arba Amos. Arko Shel Mavui, we had this when we discussed the case, perhaps you remember, where the height of the Mavui was too low, it was below Eser Amo, Asar Tfachim, and we had to dig a cavity in the ground. So in that sugya that we learned there, we spoke about the Orech HaMavui. The Orech HaMavui means when I enter into the Mavui, the depth of the Mavui going in. And now, the Gemara, in the name of Levi, is telling us that you can split this Mavui into two parts, each of which will have an opening of 10 amos, by setting up a little kind of a of a stand, if you will, but that stand has the following dimensions. It is 10 tfachim high and 4 amos stretched deep into the mav. And the reason for the 4 amos is, as we've said on a number of occasions, the shear of a hechsher mavui, for a mavui to lend itself to a heter tiltel of lechi or korah, means that the mavui has to have a minimum of 4 amos. So this 4 amos, which really is representative of the significance of a mavui, is enough of a serious kind of a pass that could split the mavui into 2 parts. That's one way of being memayit the rochav of esrim ama in this mav, in the entrance into the mav. Inami. Now the Gemara has another alternative. Kid Rav Yehuda. The Amar Rav Yehuda mavui shu rochav chamesh esrei ama. He was addressing a case where the width of the entrance into the mavui was 15 ama. And we got to get it down to 10 amah in order to be machshir the mavui with a lechi or korah. Is marchik shte amos the osapas shalosh amos? What he should do is leave himself an open space from one wall, it doesn't matter which wall, of 2 amos. And let's say he puts it up on the right side. So he sets up a pass on the left side, meaning he's allowing for 2 amos of airspace between the wall on the right and the pas on its left. And the pas has a width of 3 amos. And now we're going to apply the principle called Omed Meruba Ala Parts. That when you have an area that's more closed than open, that we see it as if it's all closed. And therefore he's effectively closed off 5 amos worth of the entrance into this mavui, and the reason that he accomplished this goal is because the pas itself is 3 amos in width. The airspace is only 2 amos, so he has what's called omed meruba laparts. It's more closed than open. And once he's now closed off the 5 amos, then the rochav, the width of the pesach mavui, is now 10 amos, and therefore it's mutter. Now, let's get back to the original case where the opening into the mavui, the entranceway, is 20 amah in width. And we said before that we had 2 options as to how to be matirit, right? And the second of the 2 options would be that we're marchik, we can separate ourselves from the coastal 2 amos. And now what we could do this is basically on both sides of the entranceway into the mavui, we could do the exact same thing. We can set up an airspace on the right side between the kosel and a pass that's 3 amos wide. Now hop over to the left side where you have, again, a situation that you set up an airspace of 2 amos, move a little bit towards your right, set up a pass of 5 amos. You now have, through the din of Omed Merubala Parutz times 2, you've got 5 amos that sasum on the right, 5 amos sasum on the left. You're left with 10 amos in the middle, and therefore you can be matir your mavui. Now the Gemara wants to know, why is it that Rabbi Yehuda mentioned that he should be marchik from the wall 2 amos and then set up the pas as 3 amos? Amai. Why did he need one pas that was 3 amos wide? Why not divide it into 2 parts? Yase pas ama umechza, yarchik shte amos, v'yase pas ama umechza. Why does he simply do the following? He's going to set up a pass that is ama umechza. Okay, that means the pass is now contiguous, joined with the kosel. Then he's going to allow himself an airspace of 2 amos, and again set up a pass of an Amma Umechtza. So now let's calculate. If we add the two Pasim, then the total width of the two Pasim together is 3 Amos. And the airspace between these two Pasim is 2 Amos. So once again, he has Omed Merubala parts, which in the case of Rabbi Yehuda, where he had an opening of 15 Amma, is going to close up 5 Amma, based on the principle of Omed Merubala parts, and he's left with an opening of 10 Amma, and that's fine. Shmamina, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda did not mention that possibility and that solution to our problem, we derive the conclusion that Omed Merubala parts Mishtei Ruchos Lo Avi Omed. If you have to add an Omed here and an Omed there that are separated one from the other in order to calculate by adding them together and arrive at Omed Merubala parutz, and that's called Mishtei Ruchos, by integrating the Omed on this side with the Omed on that side in order to be Mavatel the parutz that's in the middle between them. So you add the 1.5 Amma here together with the 1.5 Amma there to come up with 3 Amos, which will exceed the airspace of 2 Amos, that we don't say. In other words, Omed Merubala parutz requires, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a continuous Omed. One Omed that continues and is Mavatel the parutz, because the parutz is relatively minority. It's mute. The Gemara rejects this. Li'olam em l'cha havi Omed. Really, in truth, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that parutz Merubala Omed Mishtei Ruchos is fine. The shiny hacha, here's a different kind of situation. The asi avira de haigisa, the avira de haigisa, umevatale. The problem is here that you have an avir from both sides of the omid, right? You set up a pass of 1.5 amos on your right, continuous to the kosel. And now, after you set up an opening of airspace of 2 Amos, now you set up another pass of 1.5 Amma in width. But there's a problem, because to the right of this pass, you have the opening of 2 Amos of airspace. To the left, you have the whole balance of the entrance into the Mavli, a full 10 Amos. And that's called Avir the High Gisa, Avir the High Gisa. We cannot set up an Omed which is surrounded on both sides with Avir, with empty space. Now the Gemara asks another question. V'yase pas Amo v'yachik Amo. Why can't he simply set up a pass that is 1 Amo wide, immediately contiguous to the Kosel of the Mavui? Then he'll have an airspace of 1 Amo as we move from the right to the left. Yasa pas Amma. Now we'll have another pass of an Amma. And once again, it'll be machik another Amma of airspace. The Yasa pas Amma. And this would solve our problem. Rabbi Yehuda could be matir in this way, because as soon as he sets up a pass of an Amma here, and a pass of an Amma here, he's got the equivalent of Omed and Parutz, because the Parutz area is 1 Amma. So he's got Omed of an Amma, he's got Parutz of an Amma, they're equal, and the Gemara is assuming right now that if they're equal, then it's not called Parutz Meruba, and you could validate and consider the area as if it was one continuous pass. And now you've solved the problem of Avira da Hai Gisa, because on the other side you have another pass. Shma Mina, the Gemara says, you see from this, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda did not give that example as a recommendation to be Matir the Mavli, that Omei Kiparetz Asur. Later on, we're going to have a whole sugya, does, on Daf Tesvav and Beis, Machlok Shin Rav Papa and Rav Huna, whether or not Omei has to be Merubala Paretz, or it's enough that there's no majority of parutz, but if they're equal, you still apply the principle of kisasum domi, if it was closed. Here we see that if it's equal, that's not enough to set up omed merubala parts. You have to have merubala parts, but not kib parts, not the equal to the parts. The Gemara rejects this. The Olam Eimel Luchai can tell you mutter. I can tell you that Omed Kiparutz is fine. The shiny hacha, but here it's different. The Asi Avir, the high gisa mevatale. The Avir of one side, which is the Pirtz of an Amo, and on the other side of the second pass, you have the opening of 10 Amos in the ancient way into the Movui. That's going to be Mavatal, the pass that is close to the Pesach HaMovui. And even though the Pirtz of an Amo is not larger than the Omed, but nevertheless, this could not be a valid solution because we have Avir on both sides of the pass that's going to be Mitztarev and is going to be Mavatal the Mechitza, Vatal the pass. Now the Gemara wants to know, why is it that Rabbi Yehuda says that he puts up two Amos? He's Marchik two Amos, and then he puts up a pass of Shalosh Amos. Why could he do it the following? The Yarchik Amo, the Yasa Pas Amo Umechza. Why doesn't he allow himself an airspace between the Kosel and the first pass of one Amo, set up a pass that's an Amo Umechza? Then he can allow himself an airspace distance of another Amma to his left, going towards the left. Yasa pass Amma Umechza, and then set up another pass of an Amma Umechza. And therefore, if you add together the Amma Umechza twice, you have three Amos, and the airspace between is a total of two Amos. And therefore, you have Omed Meruba Al HaPorutz. And if that be the case, then you can consider as if five Amos was completely sasum. You're left with an opening of 10 Amos, so that would have been enough to be Matir. And why is this advantageous so that we don't need a Pirtza of two Amos together, Rashi says? Meaning, in Rabbi Yehuda's frame of reference, you have a Pirtza of two Amos, and then you put up a pass of three Amos. Here, by putting up two passim of each 1.5, you're going to force a double pirtza. We don't want a double pirtza, do we? I'm sorry, just the opposite. What I meant to say is, we prefer a double pirtza of a smaller pirtza than one large pirtza of two amos. So the Gemara answers, "Eino chinami, but v'kulei hai lo atrachu rabbonon." You're actually correct. And you could be matir this mavui of 15 amos within its entrance by putting up these two pasim, but the chazal weren't matriach you, even though there's a certain advantage here because you won't have an opening of pirtz of two amos together, of the contiguous two amos, but nevertheless, the Rabbanan didn't force you to go that far. Which literally translates that why shouldn't we be afraid that he's going to squeeze himself in between the pasim through that one am of airspace rather than go through the entranceway of 10 amos? The mavui has to have an entranceway and it's got to be maximum of 10 amos. But if we're not going to use that entranceway, is then that Pesach is completely batel. And that's a sugya that we had earlier. And if you remember, you had a mavui with a kosel on the one side, a kosel on the other side, and one kosel was breached. And if there wasn't enough of a pass left over to the entranceway into the mavui, then the mavui no longer lends itself to a heter because you now have offered an alternative entranceway into the mavui. Why doesn't he use the entranceway that's wider? And he will use the entranceway that's wider, and therefore you mevatel the Pesach of the Mavui. Here too, instead of going through the Eser Amos, let him squeeze through the Amma of airspace, or the other Amma of airspace, because there's two Amos of airspace. Omer Rav Ad Bar Masna, Chazok Eino Demeiniach Pesach Godol V'Nichnas B'Pesach Katan. In the case back there on Daf Dalet, there we had a very large pirtza. And it's very convenient for a person coming out of his house and entering into the mavui through a chotzer to go through this gigantic pirtza, this opening. But here, he's got an option in front of him of 10 amos of width. He's got another option on his right of 1 amma. Why is he going to choose entering into the Mavui through a 1 amma? He might as well go through the 10 ammas. Umayishna midrav ami midrav asi. Right back there on Davdal, Davhei, the Gemara says that if you have a Mavui shenifrats mitzido, the side of the wall is completely breached. Is there we said that people will go into the Pesach Gadol, correct? So that sheish lochu shema yazvu anoshim es Pesach Hagadol v'ikonsu v'Pesach Hakaton is hasan dekomait meilucha. Okay, there he's coming out of his house, and he can go into this opening where the breach of the kosel was without having to swing all the way around to the front of the mavli. But hacha, here he's standing in front of the mavli in the entranceway of the mavli. Lo kom emait meilucha. He's not going to gain anything by turning towards the opening of an amma. And therefore we assume he's still going to enter into the Mavui through the main entranceway. Tanan Hasam, we learned in a Braisa, and the Gemara wants to show you a case of Parutz and Omed as far as Tumah is concerned. So you have this covering that was used over the toilet seat, which is called an Asla. Even in Israel they call it an Asla, it's interesting. And Chalal Shalo, or and chal shalom mitztarfin b'tefach. The actual covering, which is made of leather, and the open space, because you have leather on one side, leather on the other side, and then you have an open space in the middle where he sits, is mitztarfin b'tefach. We can add that all together to one tefach, and that's enough to create the shear of an oel, such that if there's a mess below, then anything, any kalim inside that all will contract tumor. So my or ha'asla, Omar Rabbi Bar Bachan, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, or is kisui shel beis ha'kisei. First of all, we have to identify the asla as the covering of the toilet. Vekama, and what is the shear of the opening of airspace between the or on one side and the R and the other side? And here we have a machlokas. Ki also Ravdimi. Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Omar etzba'ayim. It's two etzbos of R on one side, mikan, and etzba'ayim ba'ar mikan on the other side, also the two etzbos. And in the middle you have an airspace of etzba'ayim revach ba'emtza. So all told you have six etzbos, and that's mitztaref to set up the tefach of an ohel. Ki asa Ravin, but when Ravin came for Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he said, etzva u'mechza mikan, etzva u'mechza mikan, vi etzva revach ba'emtza. So what you're left with is 1.5 on this side, 1.5 on that side, that's 3, with 1 etzva in the middle. All you need is 4 etzvos. Omar le'abay l'rav dimi, mi pligtu, are you in disagreement? And if so, what's the machlokas that Omar le'? So Rav Dimi said, lo, there was never a machlokas between my transmission and Ravin's transmission. We all had the same thing to say. Ha b'Rav Ravosa, ha b'Zutrasa. It depends which finger you're talking about. You can use your thumb, which is a wider finger, or you can measure it with your pinky, which is a smaller. But you're always going to end up with the same shear of a tefach. V'lo palkina, there's no machlokas. Amalei, so Abai says to Rav Dimi, lie pligtu. Lie means it's true that there is a machlokas. And what is the machlokas here about? The omed merubala parts mishtei ruchos pligisu. Lidi doch, according to you, you have an omed merubala parts havi omed mishtei ruchos, right? Even though you're setting up omed merubala parts from two different sides, you're willing to integrate them. But l'ravin miruach achas havi omed. We're only going to accept the principle of omei merubala parts if it's continuous, and mishtei ruchos lo omeid, and that's why he sets it up that the shear rochav of parutz in the middle is pachos from the shear of rochav of each one of the omdim on the two sides. Disakadak lo pligtiu, if you're going to tell me that there's no machlokas about omeid merubala parts mishnei ruchos, is then l'ravin hachi iboile meimar. This is what Ravin should have told me. Etzbau shlish mikan, the etzbau shlish mikan, the etzbau shlish revach boemtza. Let it be 1 1/3 etzpa on this side, 1 1/3 etzpa on the other side, 1 1/3 revach in the middle. And if you add that up, you'll still end up with the 4 etzbos. And now you have a situation where the rochav is equal to the omed. And this would indicate that the reason why Ravin said it in the way he said it is because he holds that mishtei ruchos lo avi omed velo mai plaginu. And Rav Dimi now responds to Abai. So we do have a machlakus now about omed mishnei tzadim is lididi hachi iboy li lememar. Then I should formulate my halach in the following way. Etzba ushnei shlishim mikan, etzba ushnei shlishim mikan, the etzba ayim ushnei shlishim revach ba'emtza. We're going to have 6 etzbos in a way that the pirtza in the middle between the two sides of the R, of the closure of the omed, is going to be yesera al kolechid mea omdim shebitzdidam, right? Because now the opening space is 2 2/3 of an etzba, which is more than the 2 1/3 etzba, and 1/3 etzba. Therefore, why did I mention that formulation, which would certainly teach me that even though the pirtza is greater than the omed, but we're going to attach 2 omdim on both sides, both ends. And if you want to say we have a machlokes, the machlokes is what happens if the parts equals to the omed. That according to Ravin, is parts ki omed asur. And therefore he says that we're talking about a case where the pirtza in the middle is less than the two sides of the omed. But I hold that parts ki omed is mutter, and therefore I interpret in a case where the halal, the empty space in the middle between the two flanks of the R, is equal to the omdim on both sides, because I hold that parutz ki omed palginan. Okay then, so we'll stop here on the bottom of daf yud omed beis, 2 dots, that's 2 lines before the end of the R.